churning out profits. Welcome to this audio issue of Distressed Investing, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company. All rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Paying off bonds and finding value for shareholders, there's upside here. Acronyms are key: BHK, BSK, CLT, and GLT pulp is pivotal, in our estimation, along with carbon capture and sequestration. Martin Fridson Frederick Gottlob Keller was tired of turning rags into paper. There had to be a better way, thought the thrifty German machinist. Rags were expensive, scarce, and limited the reach of the printed word only to the wealthy. Keller, who saw a future where every German could afford a newspaper or a textbook, believed the answer to cheaper paper lay in the forest surrounding his workshop in the German village of Heineken. He'd watched lumberjacks turn stout trees into fine sawdust, and an idea struck him. If you could grind wood fine enough, you could use it instead of the cotton and linen fibers of the rag pulp to make paper. It was 1844, and Keller had made some crude attempts at turning wood into paper. His first machine, a modified grinding stone, churned and spat, producing a weak, mushy slurry. But he persevered. He experimented with different speeds, different woods, and different amounts of water. Slowly, painfully, he refined his process, creating a device that pressed a block of wood against a rotating grindstone, constantly flushed with water, to mechanically shear the fibers into a workable pulp. The resulting paper was coarser and weaker than paper made from rags, but it was cheap, cheap enough to print the day's news on. And in July 1844, Keller received a German patent for his process. Around the same time, but across the Atlantic Ocean and the vast forests of North America, a young man named Charles Fennerty was wrestling with the same problem: making cheaper paper. Fennerty was a poet and inventor living in Upper Sackville, Nova Scotia, surrounded by an endless supply of spruce and fir. He had spent years in the local sawmill, and like Keller, he saw the untapped potential in making something of the wood waste. Developed independently, Fennerty's method was nearly identical to Keller's. He, too, used a grindstone to separate the wood fibers. The result was a pale, fibrous mash, likely the first wood pulp produced in Canada. Fennerty did not pursue a patent, but instead documented his invention in a letter to a local newspaper, the Acadian Recorder, which, in a delightful twist of fate, printed the news of his wood pulp discovery on a sheet of his very own wood pulp paper. In Canada, Fennerty's creation aligned perfectly with the country's greatest natural resource, the boreal forest. Canada possessed a near limitless supply of softwood, the ideal feedstock for mechanical pulp. As demand for cheap newspaper and magazine print exploded in the US and Europe in the late 19th century, Canada became the world's leading supplier of wood pulp. Vast mills sprang up along major rivers, utilizing hydropower to run the massive grindstones and transforming raw timber into paper that fueled the American and British printing presses. In Germany, the combination of industrial expertise, a growing hunger for literacy, and an abundant supply of managed forests made Keller's mechanical pulp a national asset. The country quickly became a global leader in paper and printing, underpinning a revolution in mass communication. Today, Keller and Fennerty's legacy remains in the global market for pulp and paper. Germany, a nation of technological excellence and high-quality manufacturing, is a major player in the pulp and paper industry, often focusing on high-value products and advanced processing. Canada, meanwhile, remains one of the world's largest exporters of pulp. The crafty independent experiments of a German machinist and a Canadian poet in 1844, separated by an ocean but united by an idea, didn't just create a cheaper paper. They laid the foundation for the modern pulp industry, forever linking the economies and forest management of Germany and Canada to the simple, world-changing act of grinding a piece of wood. It is a connection that endures in companies like Mercer International, NASDAQ, Merck, which operates major pulp facilities in both nations, still using the plentiful wood of their respective landscapes to feed the world's unending demand for fiber. Taking another look at Mercer International in our report Value Investing on Steroids, dated November 13, 2025, we recommended investors buy Mercer International 5.125% bonds, which were then trading around $600, a nearly 40% discount from their face value of $1,000. The gist of that report was that despite the current poor performance in Mercer's two main business lines, the production of wood pulp and the production of lumber, the enterprise is worth more than all the company's debt at full value. Any additional value, we argued, belongs to the shareholders. From time to time, when we recommend buying a particular bond, we also suggest, either as a simultaneous combined investment or at a later date, buying shares in the same company. We do this in cases where we believe that over the longer term the value above the outstanding debt will become apparent to the market. We've called the process topping off, similar to when a waitress tops off your coffee at a diner for no extra cost. As the trading price of a distressed bond rises closer to its $1,000 face value, the prospect of value for the shareholders gets brighter. When this happens, the stock price usually follows suit and rises too, sometimes significantly. As examples, we recently saw this pattern in the strong performance of the bonds, and later the stock of ethanol producer Green Plains, NASDAQ, GPRE, and Commercial Real Estate Investor Diversified Healthcare Trust, NASDAQ, DHC. Green Plains' 2.25% convertible bonds increased in value 25% from when we recommended them in May 2025 to when we sold them in September. GPRE shares jumped even more, rising 215% by the time we sold them a month later, in October. Diversified Healthcare Trust's 4.75% bonds rose 30% and its shares 136% following this approach. We believe this scenario could play out for Mercer International over the next couple of years. Though the company's business is currently challenged, and likely to remain so for the rest of 2026, we suspect that later this year the market will begin to see better results coming for Mercer in 2027 and 2028. Since our recommendation in November, Mercer's 5.125% bonds have fallen from about $600 per bond to roughly $580 today. We think that as the Mercer story plays out over the next few years, this bond price will rise over time in fits and starts, and, most likely, with bumps along the way. In this report, we present our rationale for topping off the Mercer bond position with shares of Mercer stock. We note that Mercer's bonds and, even more so, its stock are high-risk investments and encourage readers to read the risks detailed at the end of this report. A brief review of Mercer's business. What follows is an overview of Mercer's business. For greater detail about Mercer International, please see the recommendation of its bond. In short, Mercer International converts trees, and sometimes wood chips, into pulp and lumber. In 2025, roughly 75%, $1.5 billion, of its $2 billion in revenue came from the production of wood pulp, which is used to produce a wide range of paper and cardboard products. The rest of the company's revenue comes from the sale of lumber and, to a lesser degree, from the electricity and chemicals that are byproducts of the pulp and lumber making processes. This brief overview of Mercer's sales and profits in 2025 is intended as context for the discussion of the company's operating segments. We address Mercer's operations and balance sheet in detail later in the report. Mercer's sales by business line in 2025 and geography, from 2024, were: operating profits in the pulp and lumber segments declined sharply in 2025. For the year, Mercer had an operating loss of $22 million, as compared with an operating profit of $244 million in 2024. Declining prices bedeviled the pulp sector, soft demand hurt the sale of lumber, while the cost of the raw trees and wood chips increased. We believe that Mercer's operating results are bottoming out, and are likely to improve markedly in 2027 and 2028. Wood pulp sales of wood pulp account for roughly 75% of Mercer revenue. The company produces approximately 2.1 million tons of pulp per year, divided almost equally between Germany, its Stendal and Rosenthal facilities, and Canada, operations at Celgar and Peace River. About 85% of Mercer's pulp is bleached softwood kraft, BSK, which comes mostly from pine and spruce trees. Softwood pulp has long fibers that make it suitable for home paper goods like tissues, toilet paper, and kitchen towels, and for packaging materials like cartons and boxes. Mercer owns a 13% market share in BSK. The balance of Mercer's production is bleached hardwood kraft, BHK, which is derived mostly from maple, oak, and birch trees. Hardwood pulp has shorter, stiffer fibers that make it best suited for use in writing paper, newsprint, and packaging. The softer BSK typically trades at a premium ranging from $100 to $200 per ton. As of December 31st, the differential was $130 per ton, down from $190 per ton earlier in 2025. At the higher end of the range, customers have an incentive to switch from softwood to hardwood pulp. For most uses, customers can tweak the mix of BSK and lower-cost BHK but cannot change formulations significantly without sacrificing product quality. Electricity. Mercer generates electricity from the waste, the bark, small wood chips, and sawdust to power its lumber plants, primarily its German sawmills. The company sells the remainder of the electricity to local power grids, principally in Germany. The price it receives per megawatt hour varies considerably and is a function of government policy and market prices. Mercer recorded $70 million in revenue from these power sales in 2025, down from $72 million in 2024. Solid Wood. Mercer's solid wood segment, which sells lumber and lumber-based products, accounted for roughly 25% of Mercer revenue in 2024 and 2025. The bulk of this business line is concentrated at its Friesau, Holz, and Torgau sawmills in Germany. Both mills are located near the country's largest forests, which means the transportation cost to the sawmills is relatively low and the supply of trees is plentiful. Mercer's facilities can produce over 1 billion board feet of lumber annually. A board foot is a solid block 1 foot long, 1 foot wide, and 1 inch deep. Mercer also produces 230,000 tons per year of wood pellets and braques that are commonly used for heating. The Torgau mill also produces 17 million pallets, wooden platforms used to transport goods. The demand for and price of Mercer's pallets is correlated with economic growth, particularly in Germany. Within its solid wood business, Mercer has become a leading producer of mass timber, in which smaller pieces of wood are essentially glued together to create panels and posts. These engineered wood products are designed to bear heavy weight and are used in commercial and residential construction. The two main types of mass timber are cross-laminated timber, CLT, used for structural panels, and glued laminated timber, GLT, used for beams and posts. Mercer Mass Timber, MMT, the company's umbrella group for these operations, was built around its original business and two sizable acquisitions, in 2021 and 2023, that together cost $131 million. Since then, the company has made additional investments to increase capacity. It has also cut redundant costs to improve profitability. Mercer's journey to becoming a leader in the mass timber industry was a story of strategic acquisitions and forward-thinking investment. In 2021, Mercer acquired the assets of Katerra, a bankrupt CLT manufacturer in Spokane, Washington, instantly boosting its North American capacity. Then, in 2023, Mercer added Structuralum Mass Timber Corporation, bringing a state-of-the-art facility in Conway, Arkansas, and production sites in British Columbia into its fold. These moves positioned MMT as the largest player in mass timber in North America. MMT is now the largest manufacturer of CLT in North America, with a 30% share of the market in terms of capacity. Its three mass timber facilities, located in Washington, Arkansas, and British Columbia, can produce 255,000 cubic meters of CLT and GLT. For context, this annual volume would equate to a solid block of wood 157 miles long, 157 miles wide, and 157 miles deep. To visualize this block of wood, imagine if the state of West Virginia extended into space five times higher than Mount Everest. Using mass timber for new construction is becoming a popular way for businesses to reduce their carbon footprint. Unlike steel and concrete, which release significant carbon when manufactured, wood stores its carbon and absorbs additional carbon from the surrounding area. Mass timber structures are also lighter weight than equivalent-sized buildings made from steel and concrete, which is an advantage in the event of an earthquake. Even so, CLT and GLT are extremely dense and have surface char layers that enable them to withstand a prolonged fire without threatening the structure, or buckling like steel and concrete. Both the US and Canada now approve mass timber construction for buildings up to 18 stories. Researchers estimate that a mid-rise building, between 4 and 12 stories, made from engineered wood reduces the global warming effects of construction by up to 25% as compared with traditional building materials. Mass timber's cost is higher than for the comparable amount of steel and concrete, but it is lighter and therefore less expensive to transport. Additionally, CLT panels are prefabricated, which speeds the pace of construction and reduces labor cost. All told, mass timber is viable and cost competitive for commercial and residential construction up to 18 stories. Mass timber's favorable carbon footprint provides a halo effect that throws off public relations benefits with the customers and regulators of the companies using it for construction. As an example, in 2024, Walmart used Mercer's CLT and GLT for a new five-building campus. In addition, the giant retailer has announced a longer-term commitment to use more naturally sourced building materials. Around the same time, Alphabet used Mercer's CLT for its first mass timber office building, shown below. Mercer projects that the market for CLT and GLT will rise 25% annually through 2029. Even having this rate means Mercer's mass timber business is poised for significant long-term growth. Bright spots for 2026. Though Mercer's operating results are likely to remain depressed over the near term, there are a variety of bright spots that could help boost the company's operating profits in 2026 and beyond. Most notably, the demand for wood pulp is slated to rise over the longer term. Market research firm Fact.Mister projects that global demand for softwood pulp will double by 2034, from $25.6 billion in 2024 to $51.4 billion. This would equate to a compound annual growth rate of 7.2%. There are two megatrends driving this long-term demand for softwood pulp: Companies worldwide concerned with the environmental impact of their operations are looking to use as many sustainable resources as possible. This development is leading to decreased demand for plastic packaging and a greater appetite for cardboard packaging. The demand for tissues, feminine hygiene, and other household paper goods is growing in developing countries like India and China. There are also reasons for optimism that Mercer's solid wood business, both lumber and mass timber, will perform better in 2026. Demand for lumber is driven mostly by the level of commercial and residential construction, which is very sensitive to interest rates, which have been declining. Spending on artificial intelligence infrastructure will require an extraordinary level of construction over the next 5 years. In fact, Mercer management estimates that Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, and others plan to spend $2.6 trillion on the construction of AI data centers through 2030. In 2025, Mercer's MMT division did not book any large projects like the Walmart and Google buildings completed in 2024. It has already booked a number of large data center construction projects for 2026 and 2027, and the backlog of smaller jobs, like warehouses and multifamily housing, is growing. To accommodate increasing demand, the company will add a second shift to its Conway plant in April and to its Spokane facility in October. Additional revenue sources. In addition to Mercer's current lines of business, the company is working to develop sources of income that could potentially increase shareholder value significantly over the longer term. In April 2025, Mercer announced that it was evaluating a carbon capture and sequestration, CCS, for its Canadian Peace River pulp mill in British Columbia. It is working jointly with Svante Technology, a leading provider of CCS technology. The project is currently in the second phase of its front-end engineering and design process, which provides a close examination of how much the project will cost and value of the tax credits that would be generated. A carbon capture system collects the carbon dioxide that is generated from an industrial process, compresses it, and then injects it for permanent storage underground. Like the US, Canada offers a variety of inducements for businesses to capture and sequester the carbon dioxide that otherwise would be discharged into the atmosphere. Based on the research to date, Mercer estimates that the project could capture 500,000 tons of CO2 each year, which the company says would generate at least $100 million in tax credits for 10 years that the company could use or sell. This would equate to receiving $20 per ton of carbon captured, which we view as a reasonable target. The current price of carbon emissions in Canada is roughly $70 per ton and is scheduled to rise by roughly $12 annually through 2030. The lowest credit amount in the US is currently $60 per ton, assuming that its joint partner Svante owns 50% of the project. Calculating $20 per ton of carbon removed appears to leave Mercer considerable room for error. At this stage, the company estimates that the project would cost roughly $500 million. The governments of both Canada and British Columbia would pay roughly $300 million of the cost and Svante another $100 million. Mercer would need to invest around $100 million. We emphasize that the CCS for Peace River is in the development stage and projections of the system's cost and performance could change. This said, on its conference call, on February 13, management indicated that the tests to date have been successful in terms of both the quantity and purity of the CO2 sequestered. We also note that if the CCS at Peace River is successful, the company could then look to replicate it at its Stendal pulp mill, which is 50% larger than Peace River. Though the upside is not as large, Mercer is also working on joint ventures to increase the value of chemicals derived from the leftovers from the pulp-making process. The focus of these efforts relates to the extraction of lignin, which is a residual of pulp making and has many uses. It can be formulated either for use as a biofuel or to replace fossil fuels in the production of resins, adhesives, batteries, and much more. The company's goal is to have a plant dedicated to the commercial use of lignin by 2028 or 2029. Mercer's variable operating results. As we noted in our recommendation of Mercer's bond in November, the company's profitability typically varies substantially from year to year. When pulp and lumber prices are high, the company is very profitable and generates significant cash flow. When pulp and lumber prices are low, Mercer has little if any operating profit and typically runs a cash flow deficit. From 2021 to 2025, Mercer's operating profit hit a high of $536.5 million in 2022 and a low of negative $22 million in 2025. Operating profit in 2023 was $17.5 million, and in 2024 it was $243.7 million. For the five-year period, Mercer generated an average operating profit of $250.9 million. Because operating profit can swing swiftly and sharply, we base our valuation of Mercer stock on this five-year average. Mercer's cash flow and liquidity. As of December 31, Mercer had total debt of $1.60 billion, $1.42 billion when adjusted for its $187 million in cash. The company is in discussions to refinance the $276 million of loans coming due in 2027. On its most recent conference call, management indicated that these discussions are progressing well and that the company would expect the negotiations to be concluded by June 30. As of December 31, Mercer had liquidity of $430 million, combining $187 million cash and $243 million available borrowing on its bank lines. Broadly speaking, this should be sufficient for a company that was close to cash flow neutral on average for the 5 years from 2021 to 2025. During that period, Mercer generated average cash from operations of $114 million and on average made $128 million of capital expenditures annually. The company used a total of $68 million cash from 2021 through 2025. Our preliminary expectation is that Mercer's cash use in 2026 might fall into the range of $150 million to $200 million. To maintain as much liquidity as possible, the company is taking steps to reduce cash expenses in 2026. It is looking to cut operating expenses by $70 million, reduce CapEx in 2026 by at least $30 million compared with 2025, extend the maturity of its $276 million in bank loans due in 2027. If necessary, the company can take additional steps to enhance its liquidity. Mercer is a large employer in Germany and Canada, so one or both of those countries might advance additional funds. Mercer might be able to sell off a portion of its interest in the Peace River CCS project. The company could sell all or part of its mass timber business for an estimated $150 million to $200 million, which has a bright future but is not currently generating much cash valuation. We are basing the valuation of Mercer's stock on the 5-year average operating profit of $250.9 million for the period from 2021 to 2025. To determine the appropriate valuation multiple, we calculated the market value of 5 of Mercer's worldwide competitors as a multiple of the average operating profit for the same period. We converted all figures into US dollars at current exchange rates. This analysis shows that the competitors as a group are valued at 8.2x, the average operating profit for 2021 to 25, as compared with 6.4x for Mercer. Valuing Mercer at 8.2x average operating profit of $250.90 and deducting debt, net of cash, of $1.42 billion million yields a Merck value of $8.39 per share, with 67 million shares outstanding. Even if we cut the multiple to our low-end valuation of 7.0x, it would equate to $5.02 per share, nearly triple the current price of $1.70. Potential value from carbon capture tax credits. This valuation of $5.02 to $8.39 per share is based on Mercer's current businesses, pulp, lumber, and manufactured wood, and, to a lesser extent, electricity and chemicals. We do not believe the current share price reflects the potential value to the carbon capture operations in development at the Peace River Pulp Mill facility in Alberta, Canada. Mercer's joint venture partner Svante International has a long and successful history of installing CCS systems. For these reasons, we believe that the Peace River system will be built, though it may not reach Mercer's expectation of at least $100 million per year, as the company estimates. Instead, we model the value of Peace River based on annual tax benefits ranging from $25 million to $100 million per year for 10 years. In our model, we assume no cash flow from CCS until 2029. We arrive at today's value by discounting projected cash flows by 10% per year. We believe this discount rate reflects the risk of delays and cost overruns. With that, we calculate that the carbon capture efforts at Mercer's Peace River facility would add between $1.90 and $7.58 per share. Putting the pieces together, we get to a total valuation range of $6.19 to $15.30 per share. Current business $5.02 to $8.39 per share. Peace River CCS $1.90 to $7.58 per share. TOTA.